Now, Mike, I haven't primed you for this, Mike. I've just come here with Isabel. Izzy, just come here a minute. Just wanted to think for a minute about how big do you think God is? Okay, just think about this. Isabel, can you... Is your back up to this? I hadn't thought this one through. Can you sit her on your shoulders for a minute? Okay. Just what I want to just think about is how big do... Is that big enough? You know, thinking about God and, you know, the fullness of God. Is this big enough? Okay, Isabel, just stand on his shoulders for a minute. Are you up for this?
Yeah.
Are you up for this? Yeah, you ready? That's it, push his head, it'll be all right. Yeah, ready? What if I let go of you? You'll be all right. I'm going to hold on, all right? Is this big enough? No, okay, do you want to come down carefully? Right, okay, thanks, you can put her down now. Right, okay, so that's not working. Okay, so I need a bunch of people. You could stay here, actually, to start the line off. Just a bunch of people, just to line up. Any number of people, move now. Come now, law family, move. Just to line up along the front here. Just to line up along the front. You can hold hands if you washed your hands today.
Yes.
Yeah, you can hold hands. So that's fine. Just line up. Come on.
Stretch out.
We're thinking about how big God is. You know, is this enough?
No.
Right, sit down then. No, that's not good enough either. Right. Okay. You can sit down this time. So that's not big enough either. So, you know, can we do anything together that's going to demonstrate how big God is, how awesome and the fullness of God? Can we do that? No. Okay. But you know what? I think the danger is that sometimes we do the complete opposite. And, you know, sometimes we kind of try and squeeze God into the shape we want him to be or into the place we want him to be. And that kind of tries to limit the fullness of God and how big he is. And then other times in our lives, it seems to me that we're good at thinking about God in the big things that happen and thanking God for those. But then what about the small little details that go along the way to get us to that place of the big thing that's happened? We overlook sometimes, don't we, the small little bits that go on along the way. And that's what I want us to think about this morning, about how we can know that God is in our lives, even in the smallest, tiniest bit of detail that we might think is insignificant and God's not bothered about. Okay, that's what we're going to be thinking about this morning. So Emma is going to read to us from the Bible, John chapter 6, a familiar story. So you're going to read this through, aren't you? Yeah. So you do that now. Thank
you. So this is John 6, 1 to 14. Jesus feeds the 5,000. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing those who were ill. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take almost a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down, about 5,000 men. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over, let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world."
Thank you. Are you staying standing? Do you want a seat?
No, I'm fine.
You're right.
I'm fine.
So if somebody said to you, "Tell me something about the story in the Bible about the day when Jesus fed at least 5,000 people," what bit would you focus on first? What would you tell them? They fed 5,000. So you would focus the obvious bit. You'd focus straight on the big thing, on the main big thing of the story. I think most of us would do that, wouldn't we? You know, we would be really focused on the miracle of the story, wouldn't we? Remember I said at the beginning, this is all age worship and you need to join in. You know, this is, you know, where you do it. Okay. So we would focus on the big thing, that big miracle that had happened. But to get to that point, a lot of other things have gone on along the way in that story that we've just listened to, in that Bible reading that we've just listened to. It didn't just say, oh, suddenly there was this miracle, end. There was a lot of things that had to happen along the way. What we're going to do is we're going to read each bit of the story again, each bit of the passage again, and we're going to think about what's going on in this particular, just in these one or two verses at a time, so that we can get into the story ourselves. It'd be like we're living, trying to live out the story ourselves, okay? So Emma's just going to read a bit at a time, and then we'll think about each part. So go.
Okay. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing those who were ill. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near.
Okay, just those verses. Forget about the rest for a minute. Forget like you haven't heard the rest of what's coming. Okay, just in those verses, what's the main thing that's going on? A lot of people are being drawn to Jesus. So how did that happen? What was going on for the people? This isn't as cryptic as it sounds, you know. The answer's quite obvious when you get to it. Miracles were happening. Yeah, we're coming to the miracle in a minute. I'd already seen it happen. Right, so, okay, so they've seen something about Jesus, and so what are they doing now? They are... Yeah, right, okay, well done, okay. They're making a decision. I thought that was going to be the easy bit. They're making a decision to follow, aren't they? So I wonder how good we are at that. Now, Maureen... No, just stand up a minute, Maureen. Just come with me a minute. I'm going to move your chair. No, don't put that down. Bring your stuff with you. Come with me for a minute. Okay. Come on. No, take it with you. Come on. You don't leave anything behind. When you go on a journey, you've got to take everything with you. Just come. No, come. Where should we put you? Right, come down here for a minute. Right, just make a space for a minute. Just go in here. Just go and sit next to Hannah. All right. Right, Joe, just come with me a minute. Just come on a journey, little journey with me. Come on, where are we gonna sit you? Okay, come sit next to Adelina. Okay, right, here you go. Right. Here's living proof, right, that it is okay sometimes to sit somewhere else in church. Right, it is living proof that you can journey from one side of the church to the other, from the back to, well, not the front, but the middle. But let me just think about this for a minute, okay? So I plonked you there, Maureen, for the rest of the service, all right? You sure you're going to go? You're going to wander back when I'm not looking, are you? Well, I was in front of you anyway. Use that excuse. So, you hang on a minute then. So, you're feeling a little bit less settled now then?
Yes.
So, you're right. That's a good phrase to use, isn't it? I've moved Maureen out of her comfort zone of the back row, where she thinks that nobody can see what's going on. But we notice and see everything, Maureen. So, you moved out. So, Joe, how about you? So you're all right. See, what's the matter with you? It's fine.
She's released her responsibilities.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Do you want to go back? Go on then. Okay. Do you want to go back? No, you're all right. Okay. But Maureen. Love you. Thanks for helping. Don't look at me like that. Yeah, see you later. Okay. But see, this is the thing, isn't it? That sometimes we have to do a journey that we don't maybe want to do. And other times we choose to do it. And either way... sometimes, you know, we know what's going to happen, we know what's coming, and other times we don't. So these people that are following Jesus, they've been intrigued by what they've seen already, and they want to see more of him. So they're following, they've made a decision to follow in that bit of the story. Right, next bit.
Right. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take almost a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite."
Okay, so what's going on for Philip? What's up with Philip?
Test
the faith? Yeah, what's he thinking about?
Practical.
The practicalities. That's the word I got on my notes. Well done. So Philip's thinking practically, isn't he? I like Philip. You know, I like what Philip says here. He's looking at the situation and going, that's not happening. Isn't he? He's being realistic. He's looking at the practicalities and go, nope, too big. Can't do it. Can't happen. We know from the words that Emma read that, yeah, you're right. This was a bit of a test of faith for Philip. But aren't we a bit like that sometimes? We look at a task, we look at a situation ahead of us and kind of panic before doing anything else. Or we just don't bother trying. And we realise, well, this is never going to happen. So why do I need to bother? Do we do that? Put your hands up if you do that sometimes. Yeah. And the rest of you who haven't got your hands up, I know you do, but you know. So far, we've had this decision to follow. We've had the practical response about, well, hold on, we've got all these people here. What are we going to do with them? We haven't got 5,000 people in church yet, but, you know, imagine that we had. What would we do? How would you serve enough coffee? That'd be a challenge. Okay, right, let's get off of that, though. Right, next bit.
Okay,
listen carefully to this next bit, okay?
Am I reading to you? Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?
Okay. Spot the difference then. What's the difference between Philip and Andrew? Glass half full, half empty, yeah. So what's Andrew doing? Looking for solutions. He's seeing possibilities, isn't he? Even when other people... What did you say? We're coming to that. Yeah. So even where other people can't see a way through and want to give up, there's actually somebody there who's saying, there's a load of pens here, Mum. There's somebody else who's saying, hang on a minute. I wonder if this is a possibility here. We haven't explored this. Let's have a look at it. You know, when we're in the midst of that kind of the thing is too big, we can't do it, and somebody else comes along and says, well, do you know, maybe, I wonder how readily we listen. I wonder how easy it is for us to listen to what they're saying. Just hold on to that thought for a minute. Just read the next bit.
Jesus said, make the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish.
She'd already moved my notes, confused me completely. So, okay. So we started off with, who was the first person asked about? Philip, keep up. And then we had, and now we've got?
Simon Peter.
Did you read a different version to they were listening to? Now we've got Jesus here, right. What does Jesus do? What's Jesus doing? What's the main thing that Jesus did in that verse? Didn't he do this as well? Didn't you just read that?
No.
Did you not? Okay.
I read that verse.
Hasn't Jesus prayed at that point?
No. Okay. Not in my Bible.
Where does he do that? Okay. Have you read the first part of verse 11?
Yes, I read all of them.
You've got
verse
a different
11.
Version. Okay. Okay.
Oh, sorry. I didn't read verse
11. Oh, there you go. See? Okay. Read
Jesus,
the rest of it.
Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated.
Right, so well done. So what's Jesus doing? Giving thanks. Jesus is praying. He's making preparations for what's about to happen by praying. Okay, now, here's the question for us. When you're in a bit of a muddle, things are hard work, something's going on, do you, here's multiple choice here, do you, A, pause, keep calm, and pray fervently until you feel ready to proceed, or B, do you, panic, go crazy, get into loads of activity, get in an even bigger muddle, and then pray, but this time you're actually going, help! Which? Put your hands up if it's... Oh, now, be honest with me here. If it... A. Who does A? Good on you. We'll learn from you later how. B. Sometimes maybe in between. Yeah, okay. But Jesus is preparing people for what is about to happen by praying. He's getting them to sit down, he's getting them ready, and he prays, he gives thanks for what's coming next.
Okay. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left, let nothing be wasted.
I think we're in the same place now.
Yeah.
Right, so Mike made a comment earlier on about stealing food from a child. Okay, so we've read that bit already, hadn't we? So Jesus is asking now the disciples to collect up the bits that are left over. And I was reading this earlier on in the week thinking, well, it seems to me that they must have been thinking, surely, really, Jesus, come on now. Little bit of food, lots of people, and you're asking us to collect what's left over. But they just got on and did it. They got on and served. They did it in the way that Jesus asked them to. They just got on and did it. I've been thinking about this, though, right? So here, let's try this out, okay? If I can get the bag open. Here's some bread. Don't anybody get smart with me. They're not loaves, but I was trying to be as authentic as possible, thinking, well, what would the bread have been like that they used at the time? So I went for pita bread. That'll do, won't it? Is that all right? Yeah. Yeah, yeah, no, well, that's fine, yeah. Well, rather than a nice big white fluffy roll, they wouldn't have done that, would they? Right, so who wants to give this a try? Okay, I've got five of these. There aren't 5,000 of us in church yet. Second time I've said that. One day there will be. Have faith. Who wants to try and share this out amongst everybody? Okay, come and get a bit then. Do you want a bit over here? Here, David, you start there. Okay, now just bear in mind, okay? Right, come here, come here. This is fresh, by the way. I want to demonstrate, okay? You've got to break a big enough piece off to eat, okay? Not stupid little... Yeah, but I'm one of the people here you're sharing this about with, aren't you? Not stupid little crumb, okay? Because that's cheating. You'll get around everybody with stupid little crumb, okay? But a big enough piece, okay? So share one of those out, okay? Anybody else? Come on, I'm going to wing this at you in a minute. So, there you go. Okay, anybody over here? Joe, there you go. Watch out, heads. Okay, right, just share that out, okay? Be quick, because, yeah, 3-second rule. Yeah, don't tell the food and safety person. Big enough pieces. Come on, keep going, keep moving, because we've got to get on with this. Okay. The rest of you are sitting wondering. Just, do I get in the packet? How'd you get in the packet? Scissors, oh, yeah. Okay, thanks. Just while the bread's going on. What else was in the story? What else did the boy have in his lunchbox? How many fish did he have? Two fish. Oh, these are a bit frozen. Okay. Ooh, oh. There it is. Right, here we go. Two fish. Fresh from Morrison's. Okay, two fish. Who wants one? Yeah, no. Oh, they smell like fish. Smell that. Yeah, no, you don't want to smell that. Why aren't we going to share out the fish as well? Well, perhaps they did, I nearly did buy two big fish. But, yeah, they're real. Look, eyes, tails, everything. It's frozen solid at the moment. So you can eat it later. Can you eat it? I wasn't expecting that. So nobody wants the fish?
I do.
Joe, I can't reach you. Do you think I can reach you from there? Yeah, no, maybe not. No, it's all right. But how are we doing with the bread? Has everybody had a piece? I'm going to put these down because they stink. Okay. Has everybody had a piece of bread?
Music group haven't had any.
Have we managed to get our bread around? You've got some left over. So, okay. So the disciples... how did you have fish? Okay. No, you just put it in a pile there. You don't want to eat there at rest. Okay. So the disciples were asked by Jesus to go and collect up what was left over. And have we read the bit about how much was left over yet?
No.
No, okay. Is that coming next?
That's next.
Yeah, okay, read that then.
Okay.
Okay.
So they gathered them, all of the leftover bread and fish, and filled 12 baskets with the pieces.
Okay. Here's the big thing. Here's the miracle. But, you know, if all of... God, my fingers really smell now. If all the other little bits of detail along the way hadn't happened, then would we have got... Oh, bless. had all those other little bits and pieces along the way not happened, then it would have been quite a different thing that we'd read, wouldn't it? I mean, Jesus had obviously got, you know, the power and the ability to just do the miracle whenever he wanted, but... Think about each step along the way, the small, tiny detail that's happened. People have followed. They've made a decision to follow. They didn't get forced. They made a decision. And the practicalities have been thought through. A plan has been come up with. Jesus has prayed. His disciples have served him in the way that he asked them to. And the miracle has happened. The big thing has happened. Now, listen again to this one last verse.
After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world.
Okay, thank you. You can sit down now. Okay. This is the response bit, okay? So the miracle has happened. And then the people there have realized, this is Jesus. This isn't just some bloke who's nicking food off of children and doing something amazing with it. This is Jesus, the one who was promised, the saviour of the world. And that's the point here, that about the response as well. All these little details along the way are really important. Every little bit of detail in our lives is really important. You know, we might get to the big thing, the big miracle happens or whatever goes on, but each little part of our lives is just as important to God as the next one. So let's just think about this. In this coming week, all of us at different times will probably do one or other of the different things that have gone on in this story. So maybe some of us will be going on a journey. Anybody here traveling anywhere this week? I am. Yeah. So we go off on journeys. We'll go to different... Ethan, where are you going? You going on a journey? Where are you going? This week. Where's he going? Okay. Let me know later, son. It'll be all right. Well, I suppose he's going to school. That's a little bit of a journey. So I wonder how we're preparing for our journeys. But what about other things going on? There might be something practical. There's some practicalities to do with something that we're planning or an event that's happening. And maybe that's bothering us. Or maybe we just can't see the way through a problem that we're facing. Or, you know, maybe we've already organized to sit and pray with somebody about something. You know, different ones of us this week will have different things going on in our lives, won't we? What I want every one of us to be able to do is to realize that in every bit of that detail of our lives, God is there with us. There's nothing going on that he ignores. There's nothing too small for him to be interested in and pay attention to. Every little bit of that is so important to God. Don't ever think that, oh, I'm just too small and insignificant. God doesn't care about me. That's just so not true. Don't ever think either that you're bigger and better than God, because that's going to go wrong, okay? But please, don't ever think that this little thing that's going on in my life or this little me here, just too small and insignificant, God doesn't care. That's just so wrong. Yeah, everything that is going on for us, every bit of our lives, all the smallest, tiniest details are all so important to God. And so think about that, and we'll pick that up again in a minute. So let me just pray just briefly, and then we're going to sing another song. So let's pray. Father, I want to ask that in amongst all of the stuff that we've just been doing, that you'll help us to remember that we are important to you, every one of us, every bit of our lives, whether we're the smallest person, youngest person here, or the oldest, or wherever we are in between, Lord, that every bit of the detail of our lives is important to you. You don't ignore anything, you don't miss anything, and we can trust you in all of it. So help us to do that, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.